Today, we talk with Aaron Bean, one of Congress's newest members and one of the world's greatest optimists. Bean knows government from the bottom up. City commissioner, mayor, state representative, state senator, and now Congress. A conservative Republican who leads with fiscal smarts and a moral compass. From Ballard Studios, it's 13th and Park.
The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
We will make America strong again. We will get through this together.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Aaron, welcome to your new second home, Washington, D.C.
Adam, it is great to be with you and Justin. I am so impressed with everything that you've accomplished. I don't know if you remember, our first outing was at Busch Gardens, Tampa,
right.
2002, and we greeted on safari almost Augustus Busch IV.
Oh, that's right.
Who landed in a helicopter on the safari, and we went to lunch together. How about that?
I thought that he was landing to meet with us. I was a little disappointed he went back into corporate headquarters there.
I think you drinking a Coors there really upset him.
Well, that probably set in motion all sorts of other things as well.
Kidding.
True.
But keep
that.
Going. But it's great to be with you. Justin,
yeah,
you too, my friend.
Congratulations. No, it's great to be with you. And what a week. You win election to Congress last week, and now you're in Washington, D.C. Probably didn't really have a chance to catch your breath between you coming up here and doing freshman orientation. So I have to ask, what's that experience been like and the interactions with your fellow freshman members of Congress from all over the country?
It is I believe, a spirit of optimism, a spirit of urgency. I think talking from whether it's Florida, Texas, New York, where the red wave blew strong or washed over the state, I guess. We expected others to have greater numbers and didn't. But I'm happy to say that the Republicans are taking over. That became official last night, at least by one. Hopefully there'll be more. I think it's also excitement. Excitement for a new era is there. But I want to give you a little tidbit that's been kind of awkward. Not really awkward. It's just the way they do it. What do they do? What would you think they do for uncalled races? There are some races that are uncalled.
Right.
And so when we first started, I guess there were, 15, 16 races. So this is Congress School, what we are, orientation, also known as Congress School. And we started early Sunday or late Sunday afternoon, early Monday morning. They invite both candidates.
Everybody comes, right?
Everybody comes.
Wow.
So if your race hasn't been called, the Republican and Democrat are there. And you stay there and you've got full access to everything until you get a tap on the shoulder and say, we're going to need your credentials. We're going to walk you to the door. And
time to leave.
So it's been awkward and it's happened on both sides where we won and they won. So but just an interesting little factoid.
But you know, Aaron, what that allows someone that doesn't quite make it in the electoral count to say is he or she was in Congress. I mean, literally, they were
right.
In it. They just didn't serve, right?
Right. Like,
well,
elected to
Wesley Hunt, I believe, was one of those previously. Now, his race has already been certified, but there were some emotional stories of people that have come close. But first of all, if there's only one thing that we take away from our time together is just how grateful I am. The voters of Northeast Florida have put their faith in me. It's humbling when your constituents put their faith in you. It is also, just like Spider-Man, there comes great responsibility. I am keenly aware of the responsibility of which the voters entrusted me. They don't want business as usual. They acknowledge that our country is broken currently as we are, the debt, the energy, inflation, our border, so many things that they have charged me with. And many of my colleagues, particularly on the right side, have said, let's get it done, go there and solve these things. And so that's I come to Washington this week is a learning opportunity, and that's what we're doing.
Let's talk about the Florida story, which now a lot of America wants to know more about, given what happened election night, the resounding victories, not just with Governor DeSantis and Senator Rubio, but straight down the ballot. In a state that used to be the quintessential swing state in America, suddenly it's looking decidedly one way. What was it? Because you served in the state Senate, the state House, you've had a bird's eye view to this and been a major part of it. What was it that caused such a tidal wave of support for a way to govern and a way to lead?
I believe it started 25 years ago. Jeb Bush began a conservative revolution 25 years ago. It continued on. He served two terms. It continued on with Rick Scott, trying to make Florida just the best state to live, work, and play, ending regulations, cutting taxes. Do y'all remember Florida used to have the most insidious, how about that? You don't hear that word every day, but most insidious tax, the intangibles tax.
I remember.
We taxed residents on assets. We sent you a postcard. We said, list all of your assets. And then we put a percentage of what tax was due to the state. And that was just, it was unfair. It taxed our seniors, our savers. And that was one of the first under Governor Bush's leadership, one of the first taxes that came down. Since then, it has continued, but it really came to a crescendo with Ron DeSantis and COVID. Those two together just brought forth a huge contrast of leadership across the nation. You could look at states who were, you know, had a completely different take of COVID, and now you see the end result of our schools, who kept our schools open. Our kids are thriving compared to other states whose kids are lagging in education. Our economy is thriving because Governor DeSantis insisted on our economy remaining open and whatnot. It's funny, I was campaigning here, and people around the country recognized Florida is where you go, and people voted with their feet. And so all that together, I think, has led to Florida just being the epicenter of freedom. We're now the free state of Florida. It's not just Florida, the free state of Florida. But it's funny, I was here campaigning maybe 2 months ago, just racing across Capitol Hill Club all over trying to meet people. And we were on the way to meet a group of corporate lobbyists. And on the way there, in the Uber, my aide, Pray, says, Senator Bean, they say they want a COVID test, a negative COVID test, and they want proof of vaccination before they will meet with us. What do we tell them? What do we do? I mean, we're already driving. This is news to us. This was news.
Right.
So I said, tell them that we're from Florida. And sure enough, she did. And lo and behold, they met with us. And so that's funny. That's the reputation that Florida has. People are now voting with their feet. And I think it just added up to a resounding red wave. We're the epicenter. We're really the bastion of Republicanism, conservatism, which is a different brand. I think that's something where everyone strives to be free and let people have individual choice with some of the decisions they make. So
I'm
happy to be there.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I worked for Governor Bush when he was governor, and I remember the intangibles tax. It took 8 years, all 8 years of Governor Bush's two terms, to finally end that tax. And I remember attending the bill signing his last year in office when they finally repealed it. And really, that set the template in terms of lower taxes, lower business regulation. Also, people forget, empowering parents. And I think that was what we saw this year Governor DeSantis do with his campaigning for certain school board candidates, and many of them won. And it was really a parent empowerment movement, which you can kind of say started back with opportunity scholarships and shifting it from a school-centered system to a student-centered system. So with all of your experience and background, both at the local level and the state legislature, now you come to Congress. What are some of the issues? You've always been very, very much interested in the healthcare and advocate on healthcare issues. What issues do you hope to make a difference on here up in Washington?
Justin Safey, thank you so much. That's a good question. I did healthcare a lot in the state of Florida. So healthcare, giving choice, competition, I believe empowering people to do what's best for them. And when they do that, typically we save money when they take a more active role in their healthcare. Certainly, though, on the campaigning the last 110 days on the campaign trail, people are most concerned about inflation. Mm-hmm. And so getting spending under control. I share that with all of my colleagues on the Republican side. Certainly the border, it's hard to watch Fox News. It's hard to watch the news right now because so many problems. It's hard to go to the grocery store because of we see a rapid rise of prices. So getting Washington to budget, we've gotten out of the habit of budgeting. And I think if we could get back to budgeting, at least we could plan and begin. And, you know, it took, as you said, 8 years to get Florida under control in the early, 2000s of where it was. But it's going to take time for Washington to come. But you know, I'm just one person, but my class, and we had a freshman caucus, share a lot of that same sentiment. Let's get back to budgeting. And then let's, you know, once we do pots of money of the pie chart of how we're going to allocate our money, including paying down the deficit, then we can argue specifically of how to spend that money in healthcare or transportation or infrastructure or defense or whatever that is. So we've got work to do, yeah, Justin Safe.
Long, long list of things to do.
Aaron, yeah, we know each other a long time. You are the same person publicly as you are privately. I actually let the audience know that there's only one Aaron Bean. You're a very up with life kind of person. Always had kind of a very positive, let's go take the hill kind of attitude about everything in your life, personal, professional, otherwise. But we're now in a period where Americans generally feel down the mouth. You know, the wrong direction question in the polling is always decidedly too far. People don't think we're doing enough, doing well enough. And I think about you and your three kids. What do you tell your kids to give them that proverbial shot in the arm that you and people like you are going to work to make tomorrow better than before?
That's a great question. And I am, as you know, I think we're all optimists. I am a big optimist. Always want to look on the bright side of how grateful we are of where we live. You can always, things can always get worse. We know that things shouldn't be taken for granted, but it is a scary time for the electorate. People are scared. And as I already mentioned, it's just hard to watch the news, which I would recommend people taking a break from the news every now and then, because it's just, it's a constant barragement of negative, it seems. Our campaign ads, we did a few, and I want to talk about yours because you were one of the gurus of political campaigning. But that was one of our taglines, was, you know, when we do the right thing, our best days are still ahead. That was one of our taglines.
That was a good one.
We actually did a commercial, though, where I said, you know, the last few years have been tough, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The only question is it a train? I said, you know, when we do the right things, that light that we see can be the dawn of a new American era where we have a prosperous economy, job prospects, where we have a secure border, where we can walk down the street and feel safe without, you know, the threat of massive crime. I firmly believe that when we do the right things, our best days are still ahead.
But that commercial you're talking about, it was about the train coming down the tunnel, right?
It was.
Yes. And by the way, all the listeners should watch that ad. Also, you did a great ad as the auctioneer. That's another great concept. And I was watching that, worried the train was going to hit you. I mean, I was concerned for you, Aaron, in the first 3 seconds of that ad. Fortunately, the last 27, you know, resolved it. But it was an example of the kind of, hey, we can do this. We can do better. We can get through this. And I don't think we hear that enough.
Well, you know, what separated us to our creative team, there were so many negative ads out there, and we tried to be positive, uplifting. I love putting in a twist of humor when we can. That's our auctioneer ad. Adam Goodman, I'm going to brag on you, because let's go back 10 years. 10 years ago, you set the stage on an unbelievable commercial. I got lucky when our paths crossed, because you, at the time, that was when I ran for the Florida Senate in a race that I was not even supposed to come close. I lived in the wrong county. I was in the wrong section of the district. Everything that was wrong with me, I wasn't connected. I didn't have the money. I was going to be outspent. However, what I did have was the creative genius of Adam Goodman on our team. And you recognized a couple of things that the Olympics were going to be playing. And we live in a recorded TiVo world where you can digitally record or stream things without the commercials. But two things that people watch live are news and sports, and you recognize that. And you bought up all of the commercial space for the Olympics. And then you just played it. We filmed, and I remember doing it, just a positive, uplifting commercial of the beans cooking popcorn with the kids watching the Olympics. And there was no hard campaigning. There was no hard sell. But the hook was, let's just be a country that we can all rally around and go USA. That was it. And that commercial really turned the tide in our Senate campaign 10 years ago.
That goes right to the point you're making, though, Aaron. Mm-hmm. And this is 10 years ago, that people want something to cheer for. You know, the four emotions that I always deal with in media is love, hate, fear, and hope. We have a lot of hate and fear right now. Love and hope are in short supply, always dismissed in the political process. Like, well, you know, why even go there? You know, those are wasted dollars. It's not true. But that commercial you're talking about, it worked because you personified that attitude. If it weren't there, you couldn't like play act your way through that, which is why, you know, frankly, I think you're going to be a relatively popular member of Congress here because of that. People are looking for that, them just as much as anyone in the public.
Other than going to safeyreview.com, where do they go to see that? Can they go see that those commercials? I don't even know where they go. Where do they go? Is that online anywhere?
I think I'm going to send it to the movie theater next. I need to finally monetize this, Aaron, you know, beyond your state Senate.
Got to be on YouTube somewhere. Well, Aaron, you know, you've had such a successful career in public service, and now you're entering into a new body. But what advice would you give to a new member of the Florida legislature, a freshman member of the Florida legislature, newly elected, never served in the legislature before? What would you advise him or her to do to be a successful legislator?
Justin Safe, that's a great question. I actually, the last 2 years, led a orientation for the Florida Senate on both sides of the aisle and how to just maximize your influence, your ability to get things done. And you have the ability. Florida, it's our system is set up to get things done. You have to work together. But everything is what you make of it. If you're not on the right committee or for whatever committee you are on, I think it's important to maximize that opportunity. What can I do to really have this opportunity? You get one shot, and so make it count. Hopefully, I'll have that shot, whatever it is. I know I'm. Everybody says, what committee are you going to be on, Aaron, being here in D.C.? I really don't know. But whatever it is, we're going to give it 110% and rock that opportunity.
You know the classic film, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, right? So I was looking at your Facebook postings over the last 48 hours, and I came up with this piece. I want to play this for the audience, and then I want to comment on it.
Hello, it's Aaron Bean. Thank you so much for the privilege of serving you. I'm at Washington, D.C. I'm at our nation's capital. Orientation is about to begin for the 80-plus freshman members of the 118th Congress. It's kind of ironic that the Capitol is under construction, sort of like our country. Work needs to be done to make it better. I am here because you sent me. I'm forever grateful. I'm looking forward to serving. Let's go get them.
I love that. That is so real and so you, Aaron. And when you told us the story before we sat down today about the Library of Congress and your wife, Abby, and it's the wonderment.
Well, now you got to tell the story.
I want you to tell us. It's the wonderment of being here, which a lot of people say, oh, you know, they ran for Congress, they won, they're now serving. They never take time to kind of appreciate what just happened and what they could do. But you, Aaron Bean, you're cut differently, and you're loving every minute of this. Hopefully that will continue, by the way. Tell us a story about the Library of Congress.
Well, I want to set that ad you just, or not the ad, the video. Literally, the bus that we got a police escort in from the hotel as we were going into Congress school. That I just stepped out, my wife shot the video, and we only had, 28 seconds before they shuffled us in anyway. So it's good to see that. And that was my first time. The Capitol is surrounded by scaffolding right now that anybody in D.C. knows. But last night, Steve Scalise, who's now going to be the majority leader, had a great little welcome reception to new members in the Library of Congress. And my wife and I kind of snuck off and went to a different. It's a beautiful building. And Justin, you were saying it's one of the prettiest in D.C., and I would agree with you. But as we were there, one of the librarians came over and was instructing us, and my wife inquired about going up in the dome. And she goes, oh, wait, you'll have to actually get your member of Congress to escort you. And my wife says, well, I think I'm in luck. I think I know the guy. I know a guy that can do that.
Has anything surprised you? Have you had any other experiences since you've been up here that were a little bit unexpected?
Unexpected. It's much bigger than the, you know, for the Florida legislature, and that's what I have to compare it to. So it's a much bigger stage. It's much more partisan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's done on purpose, but, you know, we have class mainly in the mornings together, brought on by the House Administration Office that has these classes. And in the afternoons, we go our separate ways. Republicans go one way for caucusing and meetings, and they go their other way. There's press everywhere. You walk down the hall, there's a microphone. Somebody is calling you. So it's a big stage. Also know this, and here's a trivia question for you and our listeners. What does it mean to be kind of a big deal in the Florida legislature? What does that mean up here? It means nothing. Nobody cares. So we are not even on the first rung. We're going to have to, you know, work our way up and earn trust and build friendships and build relationships. That's what I'm doing now, and hopefully it'll set the stage that when we're in a an opportunity to further the ideals of freedom and getting our border under control, spending under control, and getting our deficit under control, those big things that hopefully we can come together and make that happen.
Well, Aaron, you know, if there ever was a person that came out of central casting for this role in the new Congress to get this country moving again and believing again, you made the audition work. Proud that you're here and also proud to call you our friend.
Adam Goodman. Other news I forgot to say. So we had a joint watch party for election night. We were watching Aaron Bean for Congress, but we were also watching, you mentioned it, where I got my start was on the City Commission of Fernandina Beach and became mayor. At the time, I was the youngest mayor. That was 25
That's
years
right.
ago. The youngest mayor in city history.
Wow.
But our joint watch party was with our son, Bradley Bean, who now has beat the record of the youngest mayor. He now is the youngest mayor. He won mayor of our little hometown of Fernandina Beach, and we couldn't be more proud of him. So,
congratulations.
We had a big night for the Beans.
Wow.
Justin, thank you.
No, seriously, you must be very proud.
And you can read about it on Safety
Review. Safety
Review. On the Safety
right.
Review.
Yeah.
See how all these worlds collide?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. I hopefully y'all invite me back.
Absolutely. It's been an honor having you with us, and good luck in your first term.
10-4.
Well, Adam, that was our second conversation with a freshman member of Congress. And interesting, the diversity between two members, both from the state of Florida, different backgrounds. Laura Lee, former prosecutor, former secretary of state. And you're here with Aaron Bean. We have a former mayor, former state legislator, former senator, and different perspectives. But what I found fascinating were some of the stories that he shared with us about the elation of being a freshman member, going through an orientation, meeting members from other parts of the country, and that spirit of optimism and energy and hope to try to get things done.
Now, you put this in perspective. He's a freshman member of Congress to be, but he's someone who's been in the public fishbowl as an elected representative for a quarter of a century.
Right.
This is not your rookie public servant. He has been there, and yet it feels like it's opening day all over again in baseball, right? It's like spring training.
Right.
First day of spring training. Hope springs eternal. And Aaron, more than anybody, is the kind of individual that completely personifies that.
Yeah, and he also, when I asked him kind of what anything was unexpected, he said the bigness of it, the size of it, in terms of there's always reporters hanging around. And I'm sure he's not used to that to that extent in Tallahassee, as he's going to see here in Washington. And the number of colleagues that he's going to have, 435 members of the House of Representatives, State Senate only 40. So there's like 400 more almost members of colleagues that he's going to have to work with to work on legislation to get things done in Congress.
Well, the good thing is, I mean, obviously Congress plays by its own set of rules, so to speak,
right,
versus the State Senate and State House in Florida. And yet, having had that experience, he should hit the ground running, the way laws come together, the way laws are made. A lot of freshmen come here, it's their first job in public life, right? And they got to figure it out, or someone's got to help them figure it out quickly. He won't need that onboarding, that on-the-job training. But I know, I remember back in Florida, the big thing he was kind of a leader on has been healthcare. Mm-hmm. And if you talk about the two parties, generally healthcare is an issue that leans Democrat in terms of voters' perceptions of their caring about it, being smart about it. He is on the other side of the line, but he's made healthcare really his calling card. How important do you think that is to have that kind of experience in the Republican caucus, in the Republican Congress?
I think it's going to be very important. I hope that he ends up on a committee where he's allowed to use that healthcare expertise to both the benefit of his constituents, but also of the Republican caucus, since he's a Republican. That is a very unique skill and expertise that he has that will definitely benefit his party and the state of Florida, for that matter, too. So we'll have to watch and see how that goes. But I agree with you, Adam. I think he's going to hit the ground running. I think that his ability to work together with other colleagues, as he's done on the Florida legislature successfully, and his expertise in different issues, I think he's a natural made member of Congress.
Well, I understand why he said it, and I think he really believes this. I think maybe undersells the impact that the four new Republican members of the Florida delegation are going to have on the process because of what happened on election night.
If you're a member of the Florida delegation, that's going to give you something, just a little bit of extra credibility, a little bit extra respect after what happened in other parts of the country. So that's definitely an advantage for each member from the delegation, as well as the state of Florida.
Well, I tell you, he's very into television and social media, as you can tell.
Yeah.
And I was very flattered. You know, he remembered way, way, way back when we were doing work together. I was doing ads for him. But that 30-second piece on Facebook is so him. Mm-hmm. I think that if nothing else, you can expect to see and hear more from Aaron Bean between the campaigns, because that's kind of his trademark. He loves reaching out. He loves to connect to people. He wants people to know what he's doing and why. And he does it very naturally.
Well, that's so important right now, because the internet age places a premium on authenticity. Mm-hmm. And we both said it during the interview with him that you can't fake that. That is not something that anybody can coach a member of Congress on how to do. You either have it or you don't have it. And Aaron Bean has it. And I hope he continues to communicate in that very genuine, authentic way through social media with his constituents and with the rest of us. It's in the age of the internet, that is definitely an asset.
Not to be a spoiler alert, I think it will be out by then, but he just confided with us after the broadcast, he was going to do another video in the labyrinth of tunnels underneath the U.S. Capitol. I don't want to give it away, but it sounds like a great idea.
Great idea.
And it's so Aaron.
That's a place that most people don't even know exists, but the basement of the Capitol is where a lot of people get lost. So it'll be interesting to see how he manages to navigate that maze.
Apparently, there's still members of Congress from many past Congresses still lost
there.
Haven't found them yet. Another great show, Justin. Great to be with you.
Great to be with you.
Don't miss future episodes by following us on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast platforms. Or go to the YouTube channel where you can subscribe for free.